Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. President Trump addressed the American Farm Bureau Federation's annual convention and trade show in Austin, Texas last week, and he said the best days for American farmers are yet to come. South Dakota Farm Bureau Federation President Scott VanderWaal was reelected as American Farm Bureau Federation vice president for another two-year term. Prior to the convention, VanderWaal accompanied Governor Kristi Noem to Washington, D.C. for the signing of what's being called Phase 1 of a new trade deal with China. And he's joining us now from Austin to talk trade, USMCA, and how South Dakota looks to benefit. Scott, welcome. Thanks for making time for South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
Good morning, Lori. Glad to be with you.
You've had an exciting week. There's lots of news to catch up on. And let's start with this Phase 1 trade deal. What exactly does it mean for South Dakota farmers? What is there to be excited about? And what is there to sort of still have patience for?
Well, this is a pretty big news. And yeah, you were right. I had the opportunity, which was an honor, to go out to Washington, D.C. and witness the signing along with Governor Noem, and I was representing American Farm Bureau at that event. This is a truly a historic occasion. And just to give you a little background, I happened to be sitting behind Henry Kissinger. And I was, as they were going through the ceremony, I was thinking, what's going through his mind? You know, he was Secretary of State in the 70s when we were really clashing heads with the communists, both in Russia, the USSR at that time, and China. And how he viewed the progress we've made since then and up until that day where we were actually signing a trade agreement with China. And reportedly, he said it was a remarkable achievement. So that's quite a compliment to the Trump administration. As far as the effect for South Dakota, most of the products we raise in South Dakota will be included in that trade deal. And there's nothing written in the trade deal about how many dollars worth of soybeans or pork or beef are going to go over there. The way it's written is they get to choose depending on what their needs are. But the bottom line is it's $40 billion per year average over the next 2 years that they will be importing from the United States. And the most we've ever exported to them in recent memory anyway is about $27 billion. And that's billion with a B. So that's quite an increase over our highest ever. And we've been down quite significantly under that, like not much over 10 or 12. So it's a huge opportunity for America's farmers and ranchers to sell our products and to create more demand for those products.
What does Phase 1 look like as far as, like, are there other phases? Do we have an idea of what the big picture looks like? Or is that the big picture and then you need to break it down to Phase 1?
No, Phase 1 is just the beginning, and of course, we have to implement that yet. So a lot of farmers and ranchers are saying, well, show me the results. And that's true. We haven't moved any more soybeans or corn or beef or pork, and the markets haven't really responded to it yet because they're saying, show us the results. So the implementation is the big thing. President Trump did talk about what he expects to be Phase 2, and that is where they'll go back to work and work on what comes after the second year. And I asked Secretary Perdue about that the other day when he was here at our convention also. And he said that right now Phase 1 is just 2020 and 21, I believe, 2 years. And then Phase 2 will take over from that. And from there, they hope to escalate our exports to China and make a more permanent long-term deal out of it. When President Trump was signing the deal last week at the White House, he said that the tariffs that are in place now will not come off until after they finish Phase 2. He sees that as leverage to get everybody back to the table again. And I guess I can't argue with that.
That $40 billion average that you mentioned, that is Phase 1. That's the next 2 years. During that time, the same tariffs will be in place.
Yeah, same tariffs will be in place. Phase 1 is the $40 billion per year, so a total of $80 billion over 2 years.
All right. So are you aware of some of the other concessions that the president was looking for from China had to do with intellectual property and areas of theft? And were those areas addressed that you're aware
of,
or is that kind of separate from where you're concerned with?
No, they did talk about that, and it is included in Phase 1. A lot of those little irritations, which are big to a lot of people, stealing intellectual property, There's about three or four different areas where they were not following their obligations under WTO. And President Trump made it very clear that they have concessions on that from the Chinese, that they will follow those obligations. And they have enforceability built into it, where we can unilaterally apply tariffs and other penalties if they're not following what they agreed to. I don't know how that all goes, if it has to go through WTO or not in a case like that. That's not specified in the information we have. But at least it's a lot more concrete than we've had before with these loose agreements where they just they come and go and they buy something, and if the market goes the wrong way, they'll cancel the shipment and then come back and buy some more. And so this trade deal really adds a lot more certainty than we've had before in regard to China.
You mentioned, some farmers saying, okay, well, show me what happens next with the implementation. But you were in the East Room of the White House witnessing that signing as part of that delegation. Tell me a little bit, with the acknowledgement that not everything has been realized yet, what the energy was like in the room during the signing. Take us there.
Well, it was really a celebratory atmosphere. There were a lot of us from agriculture there, and there were also a lot of CEOs from industry, big industries like Boeing and some of the big, like General Electric. The CEO was there from General Electric. Lots of those types of people, and he introduced them. Of course, we were with Farm Bureau there, soybeans, corn, National Cattlemen's, all the national organizations were there as well. And it was a very, like I said, a celebratory atmosphere, because this is something we've been waiting for and looking for a couple of years, clear back to early 18 when the tariff and trade disputes with China started. That's the same time that the soybean market decreased about $2 a bushel, which triggered the market facilitation program that the administration put on. And all of those things have just led up to really strong expectations and desires to get more trade deals done and export our products across the world. And it doesn't stop with China. They've got an agreement with Japan, an agreement with beef with the European Union, and they certainly expect to go to a lot of other countries, too, once they get these done.
For South Dakota farmers and producers who are feeling the pinch right now as they wait for implementation and the results, I understand there's more subsidies released recently. What's the immediate picture?
Well, yeah, the pain isn't over with, and certainly the 2019 crop year is going to have a long tail, especially in South Dakota, North Dakota, and part of Minnesota. We've got a lot of flooded areas yet that froze that way, so next spring it's going to be wet again, and some people aren't real optimistic about the planting season next year. So the market facilitation program that I mentioned, we had the first and second tranches, which the first tranche was half of it, and then the second was a fourth, so there's a fourth left, and Secretary Perdue said that'll be coming soon here in early 2020. So that'll certainly help. It's very appreciated by especially people that aren't well capitalized, maybe young farmers that don't have a lot of capital behind them, or older farmers that are tired of seeing their equity slip away, that might be thinking about getting out. Might keep them in business for a couple more years at least until things turn around. Certainly long-term farmers and ranchers want to get their income from the market. But until those trade deals kick in and start increasing the markets, those assistance packages are certainly appreciated, because the retaliatory tariffs that were put on by other countries were something that were not asked for by our industry, and it's an outside influence that's affecting our markets and our prices artificially.
Take us home to South Dakota for a minute, and after Governor Kristi Noem's State of the State address recently, she leaned heavily on business and agribusiness in the state. What do you know about what to look forward to from Governor Noem's administration that farmers should be aware of?
Well, we've got a great relationship with Governor Noem, going back to when she was in the U.S. House of Representatives, and worked with us on lots of things there. The thing we talked with her about mostly is livestock development and how we can keep our young people in South Dakota. We're raising some amazing talent and a tremendous work ethic in our young people, only to see them leave the state in a lot of cases. And we need to find ways to keep them in our state, keep that talent here, keep that work ethic here, and improve our state with that talent rather than exporting it to other states. So we've talked to the governor about what we can do livestock zoning-wise, also having to do with public opinion about livestock operations. You know, South Dakota's got a lot of wide open spaces. We've got the very high-quality livestock. We've got the high-quality feed that's probably less expensive than any other place in the country. So there's really no reason why we shouldn't be raising the livestock and feeding them in South Dakota. And we just need to convince our friends that live in the towns and cities, maybe on acreages out in the country, that it really creates economic activity and contributes to the economy of South Dakota.
I want to ask a political question because this is an election year, and President Trump's remarks at this convention or at this conference for the American Farm Bureau Federation included, celebrating the rolling back of regulations from the Obama administration. So you've got the Obama administration with a heavy use of executive orders, the Trump administration, heavy use of executive orders. And I'm wondering just about sort of whiplash as you sort of watch American voters choose their next president. How hard is it to plan for stability when you have administrations that might have vastly different viewpoints of, you know, everything from what can be used on land to waters of the U.S.?
Right. That's a great question. And certainly the waters of the U.S. issue has been one that's at the top of the list for us. We've been fighting that and trying to get it repealed ever since it was put in place in 2015, and finally the Trump administration did that earlier in the fall of 2019. It was a huge overreach of government regulation. It was not put in place correctly, and the courts have upheld that. And so the EPA withdrew that, and they're coming with a new one, which will be less intrusive. In other words, it's going to leave the water issues and regulation of water issues to the states and local areas where it needs to be, rather than having somebody in a smoke-filled office in Washington, D.C. decide on what happens out in western South Dakota, out in the middle of nowhere, what they've never seen. And by the middle of nowhere, I mean to them that they consider a flyover country. So when we first got that 2015 rule, what it would have done is put most of the land area in the country under federal jurisdiction. And we felt that that was not appropriate. And the courts also agreed with that by putting injunctions on it. So then after those injunctions, about half of the country were under the jurisdiction of the the waters of the U.S. rule, and half weren't. And with the new rule that we expect to be coming now, first of all, like I said, it'll evolve a lot more common sense, but also it'll be more clear. And that's one thing we've asked for. Farmers and ranchers should not have to hire lawyers and engineers to go out on their land and determine what parts of it are under federal jurisdiction and what parts aren't. And under the new rule, we think we've got a good idea what's going to look like. We think that's going to be a lot more clear. And we need to help assure people that the new rule will still protect water quality. Farmers and ranchers want to protect the water quality because we depend on it for our livelihood. And there's no reason we would abuse that. And people need to understand that, and the new rule will still protect water quality, but still let our businesses and our farms succeed economically.
So then it all goes back to, in some ways, what you said earlier about, communication and bipartisanship and talking to people in towns and cities and rural areas so people have an understanding and can work together. Otherwise, it's just a complete whiplash back and forth between, who Americans put in the White House and then 4 years later, who they put in the White House again. There
right.
has to be a
and
way
those...
to sort of solidify some of those things for some certainty, perhaps.
Right. Those are all political realities that we live with. And that's why we have elections every 4 years. So we put the people in place that we hope do the best job of helping our country succeed in many different ways.
Scott Vanderwall is president of the South Dakota Farm Bureau Federation. Scott, we hope you'll come back and when you return from Austin and talk to us again about things that are new that affect all of us. Thank you so much.
I certainly will, and thank you very much.